Welcome back to the By Faith podcast. We are here for our last week together. Happy Thanksgiving to you all, because you all likely just came back from hopefully a wonderful little break away from school.
Rachel, what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Oh, no. I really like, what is it called? What is like that red cranberry stuff? It's a weird thing for me to
Everyone like. Knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like literally just cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like almost like Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't know what it's called. But every time it's there, I'm like, oh, give me some of that.
Yeah, yeah. We all know what you're talking about.
What's your favorite, Landon?
Big fan of sweet potato casserole.
Oh, see, I would say that, but my family always buys yams instead of sweet potatoes.
Interesting.
And I just am not on board for the yams.
Yeah.
There is a difference.
Can't say I've ever had a yam. Anyways, I didn't mean to derail
us. You probably have, and they just told you that it was sweet potatoes. But anyway, we're back, and we're back for our last week together.
Congrats, you made it.
Before finals, before Christmas break.
Yeah, maybe you haven't quite made it.
Yes, but we're so close. At the end of this podcast, we will do a grand reveal of what we're going to study next semester. So that's really exciting. But I'm here with Landon because he did all the work of researching and writing this last week of curriculum for us. And so why don't we just dive in?
I am ready to roll.
So last week we talked about Daniel 1 with Allie. So what did we kind of cover there?
Yeah. So just talked about even what it looks like to live in a way that honors God in a context that's foreign and in a world that like is trying to impress its own like value system upon you. I think Allie gave really good guidance for like what it looks like to live as people who are in exile, and even just digging through some layers of like, maybe we're in exile right now. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. I just wanted to even like brag on Allie a little bit because we did a discussion with my guys, and it was probably one of the better discussions around curriculum that we had all year. So I was was pretty fired up. It was good stuff.
Wow. Thanks, Allie. Hopefully she's listening. I can hear just like the goodness that she got to bring, just like even on the podcast, it was just so natural. If you guys don't know, it was her first time.
And if you didn't listen, go back and listen.
She's just an amazing staff member. We love her. We love her wisdom. And we're just really thankful for even last week, because that was our last week in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Our last character.
Yes. Our last.
Kind of.
Yeah.
We'll get into it.
And so now we're moving back into Hebrews this week.
Yeah.
Right? So what is that going to look like?
So we're taking it back to where it all began, kind of zooming back out. We've even heard from some groups this year that like, you know, diving into the individual stories, you can kind of like lose sight of like how it's all tied together by Hebrews 11. So hopefully this week's a good like bookend to bring us back and look more holistically at like the story that all of the individual stories kind of paint together. So we're reading a little bit of the end of Hebrews 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. And so the end of chapter 11 is basically kind of the author of Hebrews is kind of going, and there's just so many more and I don't have time to talk about them all. Yeah.
I love it.
And it's just like casual. It's like, yeah, there's like people who like, you know, shut the mouths of lions and like, you know, survived flames and like did all these crazy things. But we do see like a little bit of a split. So like the first verses 32 through 35, it's like talks about all these people who like accomplished great things. Mm-hmm. And then 35 through 38 talk more about people who had to like suffer through a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think for some, like their faith was a weapon, and for others, their faith was a lifeline. I'm guessing that this could either, you know, depending on where you're at when you're listening to this, like you could probably resonate with one of those others of like, man, I just really feel like my faith is like equipping me to go out and do all these great things for God. Or like, man, my faith is like the only thing keeping me sane right now. And so I thought that was a good even note in summary of like kind of even what it, the function of faith can be in our lives. But I think he kind of rushes through all these other characters, because what he really wants to get to is that all of these characters that we've talked about over the course of the Old Testament actually point to Jesus, which we've been talking about all semester long.
Yeah.
Like, how does it point to Jesus? And like, this is in some ways the Jesus week.
Yeah.
And so it goes into Hebrews 12 and essentially says, like, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and that doesn't have to be vague for us because we've actually, you know, read their stories. We ought to fix our eyes on Christ as the pioneer and perfecter of faith and run the race set before us with perseverance. So it's kind of like it's a really good conclusion because it's like the, okay, so now what? Mm-hmm. And it's fix your eyes on Jesus and like now run your own story of faith.
Yeah, so Jesus' ministry has been present all along, like all along and through the Old Testament, God has been ministering to this world. Jesus ministered to this world in his life, and now we get to continue in that ministry by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so Jesus' ministry didn't end, it continues through us. Yeah. And so I hope that that can be like a really cool highlight this week for us and an encouragement to us as we get to continue to walk by the Spirit. In reflection on the scripture. And so, Landon, you did a lot of research on Hebrews to bring this together. So like what stood out to you as you were reading different commentaries and all that?
Yeah. So I think the one like little piece that I kind of jumped over in the scripture is verses 39 and 40, where it essentially says like all of these were committed for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised since God had planned something better for us. So that only together with us would they be made perfect. I just thought it was just a striking reminder that all these, you know, heroes of the faith who exemplified great faithfulness to God did so without the promise of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. They knew the Messiah was coming, but they didn't know. And they didn't see, you know, they didn't have Jesus' example before them. They weren't aware of like his death and his resurrection. And so in some ways it's like inspiring where it's like, whoa, like they accomplished so much even without the fulfillment of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And it's also a challenge to where like, oh, so now me, you know, as we talk about like what it looks like for us to live our lives with faith, like I'm empowered with a different, you know, presence of the Holy Spirit than they were. Mm-hmm. And so the logical kind of reasoning of that is like, oh, so I should be able to like have even more faith than they did. When I think that my guess is, as we've looked through these stories this semester, it's like, wow, I wish I could have that much faith. Mm-hmm. When really it's like, because of Jesus, which, you know, is pointed to in Hebrews 12, we can actually not even like meet this example, but even exceed it. Because we have the power of the gospel.
Yeah, like we have so much building up for us. We have this cloud of witnesses that we get to look to and say, wow, they had faith in the Lord and he delivered for them. He provided for them. He was faithful to them. And so I can be faithful too. Or they did not have the Messiah yet. Yeah. And the Messiah has been filled for us. And so therefore I can have just as much faith, if not more. Well, yeah. We don't want to play a huge comparison game, but you see what I'm saying. And even us carrying the Holy Spirit in this new way within in light of the promise of the New Testament and Jesus coming, we carry the Spirit of God with us who encourages us and builds us up and secures us, you know?
Yeah.
Like we just have this accumulation of witnesses in our life that builds our faith. And so, yeah, I really do just find the scripture so encouraging and also so challenging.
Yeah. And in some ways we like have no excuse.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it can be like, yeah, I understand that like I had Jesus, but like my life is hard. And to that I would say like, did you read verses 35 through 38? Like they like went through some stuff even without the promise of the Messiah. And they were waiting for the Messiah to come. I think it's even an interesting note because in some ways like, you know, even though we're living in the promise of the, you know, we've seen Jesus, we have, you know, his death and resurrection before us, we are still in a period of waiting.
Yeah.
And so we can even look to people in kind of like the latter half of the Old Testament who are just like awaiting the coming of the Messiah. That's our posture too. You know, mm-hmm. we're waiting for Jesus to come back again and ultimately redeem all things. And so I think that their example is still really powerful for what it looks like to wait for the second coming of Christ.
Yeah. And what it looks like for like you're saying, what it looks like for us to just like wait for like this new heaven and earth where the suffering that we are enduring or that we are persevering through will be no more. And we will experience that divine rest. So when we think about Jesus and focusing on him, what does it mean when Hebrews says to fix your eyes upon Jesus and to run the race set before you?
Yeah. So a couple things here. I think that I want to start with like the running the race set before you piece. And I think it's important to realize that not everyone's race looks the same. There's a beautiful even diversity in the stories that we've seen in Hebrews 11. We've seen people from a lot of different like social statuses and situations. Some are in the dominant culture, some are in the minority. But regardless of like wherever they're at, they're faithful and they run not, you know, Abraham doesn't run Moses's race. Joshua yeah. doesn't run Daniel's, you know, they're faithful to, the men, and what the Lord has before them. And so I think that there's a really dangerous comparison game
yeah.
where we think that our race needs to look like somebody else's. And I think that's even, you know, we talk about like what it looks like to have a cloud of witnesses. That's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that one of the places that can lead us is, oh, my faith needs to look exactly like theirs.
Yeah.
Like my faith needs to look exactly like my core group leaders or exactly like my pastors or exactly like this friend that I have, this roommate that I have that really loves the Lord a lot. And that's simply not the case. Christ is glorified more by all of us running our race differently. Like we're all unified in like our purpose and what we're running towards. But I think that can look differently for us depending on just our giftings and even our just the places that we've been planted and the people that we're in proximity to.
Yeah. The jealousy that we can have towards one another and the positions we're in. Does it even eats away at like the goodness of the promise that yeah. we are living into. So I think you're just so right. And even the comparison of ourselves and like, well, I'm not having the faith that Daniel had. It's like, well, you're living in a very different situation than Daniel had, but yeah. he is a witness to you of like what it looks like to have faith in hard circumstances. Or like you're saying in the immediate context, like our peers, our roommates, our parents, our mentors, we aren't meant to look like them. If yeah. we were meant to look like each other, then God would have just made a bunch of clones of us, you know, that yeah. we're just, and he divinely just made us so uniquely different and he cherishes that. And so we take away from that if we seek to have the faith of someone else and to color it in the way that theirs is colored.
And I think this is an important point to say that like the cloud of witnesses too, like your cloud of witnesses isn't Jesus.
Yeah.
These are people's examples of faithfulness to Jesus or to God that mm-hmm. is supposed to point you closer to him.
Yeah.
So if you make Abraham God or Moses God or Joshua God, like that's not a faith that's actually going to sustain you.
Yeah.
Maybe able to inspire you. But ultimately, we're not supposed to look like Abraham, Moses, Joshua. We're supposed to look like Jesus.
Yeah.
And that can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. And so that's where, to answer the other half of that question of like, what does it mean to fix your eyes upon Jesus? One of the coolest things as I was digging into even that verse is there's this Greek word, aphareo.
Aphrao.
Okay, there we go. which is like this idea of, the word means like to look away from all else. In order to like see the thing that you're fixing your eyes on more distinctly. And so when I read that, I was just like, man, that's so good because it's, you know, what are you looking at and how is that impacting how you're living? Yeah. What you, to even like see Jesus clearly, to fix your eyes on him and to even begin to like walk in faithfulness to him. I think you have to have even look away from other things so that you can see the fullness of who Jesus is more clearly. And so maybe even as you're listening to this, you know, those things start to come to mind, you know, the things, that demand your attention and keep you distracted, from, you know, just spending time with the Lord. And, you know, I think that that can be anything from, you know, Netflix to social media to pornography. You know, I think there's a lot of things that demand our attention, and can keep us from fixing our eyes upon Jesus. And so I think that Jesus isn't supposed to be just another thing that we give our attention to. Like I'm going to give, you know, a little bit of screen time to this, a little bit of screen time to that. Might give like 10 minutes to the Bible app. No, it's like he wants all of your attention.
Yeah.
He doesn't just want to be another piece of the pie. He wants to be the central lens through which we see the rest of the world. That we run everything that we take in through of like, does this look like Jesus or does it not look like Jesus?
Yeah, it gets so tricky too with the things that are good.
Yeah.
That we fix our eyes on. You know, like there's like the clear things in our lives that are like, okay, that is sinful. And I'm fixing my eye on it. And so therefore I need to get rid of it. But there's also this temptation to like set our eyes or fix our eyes on good things instead of Jesus. And yeah. even if those good things were meant to serve Jesus, we still have our eyes fixed on them and have our performance fixed into them
yeah.
instead of on Christ. And yeah. I see that in myself a lot too. And so whenever I read this theme that you wrote about fixing our eyes, that's what came into my head. And I was like, dang, like, is even like my work or my going to seminary in the way of fixing my eyes solely on Jesus, am I allowing those good things to be shaped by my eyes being fixed on Jesus instead of Jesus, my perception of Jesus being impacted by my eyes being fixed on these other things that are good, you know?
Yeah. And this made me even think about like celebrity culture, like within the church, and how like someone can preach a really good sermon or write a really good book. Like I just read John Mark Comer's most recent book and I was like, man, this is so good. Like I love John Mark Comer. And I was like, it's like, John Mark Comer's a pastor. He's supposed to be pointing me to knowing Jesus yeah. better. So I'm gonna be like, oh, like this person that's written this book is so good. And like, that can be true. But ultimately, like those things, even though they are good in and of itself, like are meant to point me towards Jesus. And so I think that there's even like a little bit of a rift in our culture where we like idolize, you know, the pastors and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that not always leads to, you know, some negative outcomes. But I think it's important to understand that like, even good things, you know, aren't God in themselves. They're meant to point us towards Jesus.
Yeah. And I even think of like the Pharisees in the New Testament, how so many things they looked to and they fixed their eyes on in the law, just like missed the point of like they weren't fixing their eyes on God. They were fixing their eyes on the rules that were given by God. And so the rules were good. And, but they fixed their eyes on those instead, the good thing instead of the good one.
It's good.
Yeah. So we've been talking about faith this whole semester. Mm-hmm. So how does this kind of like put the bow at the end? We're approaching Christmas.
Yeah.
We're tying up our Christmas gifts, putting the bow together. How does this passage do it?
I think that the big takeaway is just like, it's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that if you're trying to live a life of faith that isn't central, like that the central mission isn't to know Christ and to imitate him. And I think we're missing the boat a little bit.
Yeah.
And it can be, I think that's a straight and narrow path and it can be really easy to fall off to one way or the other. But I think that what Hebrews 12 leads us towards is that it's all pointing to Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, every story, every person that surrounds us, every, you know, really every day that we live is an opportunity to know him, and to commune with him and to see him in a new way. I've even been talking to students recently about like how God has just been doing this work in my life of like, just claiming things that like, I think we maybe grow up and kind of compartmentalize of like, these things are spiritual and these things aren't. When really like the life of faith, I think is holistic.
Yeah.
And so that's where I talk about like, you know, Jesus even being like the lens or the filter that which we see everything through of like, you know, does this glorify God or not? Does this bring his kingdom come? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it looks like to live the life of faith is just that pursuit of, just looking more like him, in a very, you know, slow, kind of daily basis sort of way.
Yeah. Ooh, that's so good. So just taking that, like, how do we live this out? Like, what does this look like practically in our lives as Christians?
Yeah. So I think I've mentioned a couple of times that like the idea of having a cloud of witnesses, like we don't want those people to be Jesus. But I think it is also important to identify the things that lead us to, you know, that kind of take us to the throne, right? Mm-hmm. That bring us closer. And these can be relationships. This can be you know, scripture, this can be, you know, like certain passages of scripture. This can be really whatever. But I think that, and it may even be, you know, a particular story in our curriculum that you really resonated with, but I would encourage students to, create your personal cloud of witnesses, break out a pen and, your journal or just a piece of paper and start to write out who are the people, that are pointing you towards Jesus, that are helping you to become, you know, the image bearer that you were created to be. Because I think that we need to kind of identify, okay, which things are helping me get there and which things are like hindering me. And even starting to do the work, even over the break, of letting go of the things that aren't helping you look more like him and really pressing into the things that are. And so that could look like getting coffee with a mentor or a friend that you really value that that pushes you closer to Jesus, or spending time in an area of scripture that you really feel like the Lord's been speaking to you through. But understanding, you know, who are your who or what are your cloud of witnesses? What are the things that point you to Christ? And then really pressing in to those things without making them God, but going in with that mindset of like, man, I really want to know Jesus more intimately and more deeply. So I'm going to press into the things that help me get there.
Yeah, that's so good. Layden, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For this week of curriculum. And we're really hopeful for your all's groups and that this will be like a nice little finishing touch to the semester.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll segue into next semester.
Oh boy.
What is it going to be, Landon? Do you want to be the revealer?
Sure. Yeah. So next semester we are going to go through the book of Ephesians, which we're super excited about, going through the whole thing.
Yes.
Something we haven't done in a while. Just like, hey, we're going to take a book of scripture, really just sit in it, read it cover to cover, you know, mm-hmm. read every single verse, yeah. And really press in. I think that, you know, this semester we really kind of tackled some big stories every week, you know, like how do you condense Abraham into 1 week or Moses into 1 week? But, I think the spring will be a little different of, man, we're going to like really zoom in and wrestle with just like, some really good theology from Paul, about what it looks like to be the church. I think there's just some really, relevant words that Ephesians has for, yes. for our community. I think that was even a part of our discernment of saying that Ephesians is where the Lord's leading us.
Yeah. We literally made a list of like, what is it that college students want to talk about right now? And we made a list of books of the Bible that we really think would be cool to talk about in groups.
Yeah.
And Ephesians included so many of those topics that we know that you guys want to talk about. And we're like, dang, we ought to do it. So
hopefully we're right.
Yeah, hopefully the Lord is directing us. Well, he's definitely directing us. And so we are excited to do that with you guys next semester. We are currently in the process of writing it all.
My favorite time of year.
Yes.
Writing season.
Yes. So thank you all so much for being faithful to us in the podcast this semester. And we look forward to many more podcasts next semester.
Grace, peace.
See you.
Next year.
In January. Bye.